This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. On this second half of our annual 10 Best Show, pop music critic Ken Tucker is with us to play some of the recordings on his 10 Best list. We're also going to talk about some of the year's developments in everything from gangster rap to country music. You may also know Ken from Entertainment Weekly, where he's critic at large. Let's get started with some music from his top 10 list. This is from Amy Rigby's CD, Diary of a Mod Housewife.
When we made our vows to have and hold, we never thought about how love grows old. Well, even healthy trees run out of sap. Baby, we're stronger than that. And when I look at you, I see too much. I try to walk away when things get rough, but every time I do, I come right back. 'Cause baby, we're stronger than that. We're stronger than the fairy tales, diaper pails, lack of heat, urge to cheat, shattered hopes, tired jokes, doctor bills, urge to kill. And when we have another argument, you wonder where your feelings for me went. Well, even sugar peas run out of snap. Baby, we're stronger than that.
Ken Tucker, good to see you.
And nice to be seen. How are you?
Tell me why Amy Rigby is on your 10 Best list.
Well, I think Amy Rigby put out a really good example of a female singer-songwriter. This year, there were a number of strong records in that category. But Amy Rigby's, I think, showing the influence of punk rock and how it's seeped its way into that kind of 70s singer-songwriter confessional mode, I think she's managed to combine this all. And you know, she's an example of somebody who's like in her late 30s, still pursuing that rock and roll life. I think she's a very interesting performer at this point in her career.
What's been happening commercially in the rock industry this year? I've been reading about declining record sales. What does all that mean?
Yeah, the industry's gone flat. There's not been that kind of 20-25% growth that the industry has expected over the past decade. And a number of reasons are being put forward for this. Partly, they say it's because a lot of people have finally completed their transition from LPs to CDs, that people aren't buying CDs anymore, that especially baby boomers have now, you know, bought their copy of Moondance on CD, every single last one of them in America, and we don't have to have those sales anymore. They're also feeling competition from CD-ROMs and the internet. People are just spending more time doing other kinds of things, spending their money in different kind of areas. There's some feeling that bands are being brought out. It's almost like a return to the disco era of one-hit wonders. A band comes along, has one big hit. The record company just slaps out an album with the one-hit single and a lot of filler, puts a video on MTV, and then they're gone. They disappear. There's kind of no longevity among artists in a lot of cases. Also, it's just that the music isn't that good. It hasn't been that strong. I mean, these things do go in trends this way. And, you know, it did strike me as I looked over the records I was compiling that there was a lot of good music here, but there wasn't any really great, you know, there was no masterpiece in pop terms that I think that I heard this year.
Well, play something from your 10 Best list that seemed to break through in spite of the malaise in the record industry.
Yeah, I think this guy Beck, this whippersnapper Beck, who's got this album called Odelay, is really a wonderful guy in the sense that he's very eccentric. He's a white singer-songwriter who uses a lot of techniques of hip-hop collage in the way he produces it, the rhythms he uses. And I really like the way he puts things together in this kind of collage method that he uses. The cut we're going to hear is called Where It's At.
Thank you. destination, a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz in the get fresh flow. Pulling out jives and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, or just clap your hands, or just clap your hands.
Where's that?
That's Beck from his album Odelay, one of the CDs on Ken Tucker's 10 Best list for 1996. Ken, how much did you find yourself listening this year to this kind of scavenger approach to music of, you know, borrowing from all sorts of other things and making it your own?
Yeah, I think that it's a real trend. I like the way Beck doesn't use that technique as a kind of some sort of ethnic exotic thing. You know, there are a number of white acts that do that. There's these bands Cake and 311 who've had hits. G Love and Special Sauce, a very mediocre band that's inexplicably a big favorite on the AAA format of radio that I... And I resent the fact that they use it as if it's some sort of exotic technique they've just picked up. Beck really manages to work it into his style in a way that is much more kind of comfortable to what he's trying to get across, I think.
We were talking about the decline in record sales and this being a kind of lackluster year musically. Did any of the things on your top 10 list coincide with commercial success?
Yes, certainly. Sheryl Crow's album, it's her second album, which is called Sheryl Crow, I thought was a very strong record in a year that, I mean, even though I say that there's not any great works I heard, there were many strong records by women. Certainly the biggest commercial success continues to be in the past year Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill. Sheryl Crow came back with a very strong second album. But I mean, as I look down my top 10, either women in groups like Fluffy, this English trio of women, even a country act like the Cox Family, which is led by two sisters, the Cardigans, a Swedish band with this female lead singer, the women's presence is very, very strong. One of the things I like particularly about the Sheryl Crow album is that it's one of those I Hate Being a Rock Star albums that artists often, that becomes their second, their sophomore effort is like they put out their first album, they become a big star, then they take their second album and whine about it. And the other two acts that did that this year were Tricky, this English trip-hop act who's very critically esteemed by everybody but me, and Counting Crows. They both put out records where they whine about how the burdens of fame. But I thought Sheryl Crow did it much more succinctly, much more kind of self-aware. And the cut I'd like to play of hers that's a good example of this, in fact, is called The Book.
Sheryl Crow, and that CD is on Ken Tucker's 10 Best list for 1996. Ken, you mentioned that this is a year when more women than usual have made it to your 10 Best list, and more women than usual have had a lot of commercial success in rock this year. Any reasons why you think that's happening now?
I think in general that people are just more willing to listen to women as that kind of voice of authority, that kind of voice of rebellion. The full range of women's experiences just seems to have made this breakthrough. I mean, people put down Alanis Morissette as being this kind of whiny, self-pitying. But, you know, I think that it sets the stage for a kind of range of emotions that don't often get heard widely. And I think the more of that kind of thing that is heard, the better the music is.
There's a band of women that made it to your 10 best list.
Yes, Fluffy, this trio from England, who I think really, they work with the guy who produced, Bill Price, who produced both the Sex Pistols and the Clash. And to me, in the late 90s, this was like the perfect 1977 punk album. It's called Black Eye, the album. And they put on a great live show. They're really tough and aggressive, yet really smart and have a really good sense of humor. And to me, this was the hard rock album of the year, as far as I was concerned. The cut I'd like to play is called Too Famous.
That's Fluffy, and their CD Black Eye is on our rock critic Ken Tucker's 10 best list. You know, it's funny. I think for a lot of people, the music they're nostalgic for is the music of high school or the music of college, and then it's kind of catch as catch can after that. And you were a rock critic in the 70s when punk was really catching on in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sure that's a really like seminal period musically for you, even though college was behind you, high school long behind you.
That's right. Yeah. And now I hear this new wave of bands coming along and I think, ugh, that was done 15 years ago. You know, it's like I feel, oh, is this what being an old fogey is like? You say, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, in Fluffy's voices, I hear Johnny Rotten. You know, it's that sneer that comes through. And it still seems very exhilarating to me.
Fresh Air's rock critic Ken Tucker is with us, and we're talking about the year in pop music, and he's playing some of his choices for the 10 best of the year. Let's take a short break, Ken, and then we'll talk some more.
Okay.
This is Fresh Air. Back with Fresh Air rock critic Ken Tucker, and we're looking at the year in pop music. Ken, there's usually one or two country music records on your 10 best list of the year. What's on it from country music this year?
Well, to me, country music really let me down this year. I mean, I usually go to country music to find kind of sustenance and energy and a different kind of voice than you get in mainstream rock and roll. And more this year, the country music I was listening to seemed very pale and derivative and just very tired, kind of exhausted. Lots of self-referential songs, you know, country singers singing country songs about country music and a kind of empty good time feeling. The biggest star in country music this past year has been Shania Twain, who's put out her debut album, sold millions and millions of copies, has outsold the previous superstar of the genre, Garth Brooks. And what she's done is she works with her husband, producer Mutt Lange, who's best known for producing white hard rock acts like Foreigner. And she's come up with this pop country album that's perfectly decent. I think she has a nice voice and everything, but there's nothing adventurous about it. It's a very, very traditional record. The most interesting thing she's done is to kind of withhold herself from the public. She hasn't toured the way it's very standard in country music to get a hit single and go out and sell that record on the road and just keep out there on the road for, you know, 52 weeks out of the year. She has not done that. And sometime in the coming year, she's supposed to launch a tour, which by now, it's so built in anticipation, it's going to be a tremendous event in country music, and I think probably in pop music, which is part of the idea. So that's a smart thing. As far as artistry goes, the best country music I've heard all year comes not from any newcomer, but a grizzled old veteran, Willie Nelson, who put out an album called Spirit, which I think is really wonderful, very simply done. Very often it's just Willie and his acoustic guitar being strummed. It's almost like a folk record. I think it's got some really beautiful music on it, and it seemed to me to be the truest, most soulful country music. The cut I'd like to play is called We Don't Run.
We don't run, we don't compromise, we don't quit, we never do. We look for love, we find it in the eyes, the eyes of me and the eyes of you. You are the road, you are the only way. I'll follow you forevermore. We'll look for love, we'll find it in the eyes that see through all the doors. There is a train that races through the night on rails of steel that reach the soul, fueled by a fire as soft as candlelight, but it warms the heart of a love grown cold. We don't run.
That's Willie Nelson from his CD Spirit, which is on Ken Tucker's 10 Best list of 1996. Is it true that Willie Nelson still doesn't get played on country music stations?
That's true in the majority of cases. I mean, it's really amazing that the fact that those traditional, just by virtue of their generation and their instrumentation, those kinds of acts, he and Waylon Jennings, who's also done not bad work, don't get played on the radio.
I guess the biggest news story in pop music this year was the murder of Tupac Shakur. What do you know now about what the dispute was really about within hip-hop?
Well, there was this kind of East Coast versus West Coast rap faction, this kind of war which supposedly came to a head in the murder of Tupac Shakur, who himself was from the West Coast of this so-called gangster rap genre of rap music. I mean, I think already I hear comparisons to Malcolm X in the sense of here's a figure who was in the process of renouncing the violence that he had previously been espousing Tupac in his music, and just at the moment when he was having this change of heart, he's slain. I think that to a certain extent you have to be a little bit cynical about what's been happening in the music itself, since gangster rap has kind of peaked commercially, and it may simply have been a wise commercial move for Tupac and people like him in this genre to kind of soften their message. On the other hand, I think that he was truly somebody who had a conscience, who was, in his own terms, his music was a series of documentaries, was a series of descriptions about what life was like, both his childhood and what he saw as an adult. I think that this coincided, interestingly enough, with a kind of revived creativity within the hip-hop community in terms of production. There's a group of loosely affiliated rappers and producers called the Wu-Tang Clan on the East Coast who have come up with this kind of production style, which I find absolutely fascinating. It's very thick, very dense. The beats kind of rise up from a murk and yet are also very catchy. Vocals are used less to sort of describe these street scenarios than as to just provide another noise on the soundtrack. I think that the work by those people is very, very interesting and bodes very well for the future. I certainly think that the clearest example and the most brightest star at the moment is this group called Blackstreet. Their song No Diggity just seems to me to be the perfect synthesis of rap and R&B this year.
Why don't we hear it?
Yeah. You know what? I like the players. No diggity, no doubt. Play on, play it. Play on, play it. Yo, Dre, drop the verse.
It's going down, fade to Blackstreet. The homies got at me, collab creations. Bump like agony, no doubt. I put it down, never slouch. As long as my credit can vouch, a dog couldn't catch me. Tell me who could stop with Dre making moves, attracting honeys like a magnet, giving them orgasms with my mellow accent. Still moving this flavor with the homies Blackstreet and Teddy, the original rough shakers.
Shutting it down, good lord. Baby, got them open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much grounds, got game by the pound. Getting paid is a forte, each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind.
Wow.
I think about the girl all the time.
Wow, wow.
What I really wanted to mention was that those piano chords. That's like the instrumental hook of the year. I mean, I just love the way those deep piano chords come rising up in that. It's just a great sounding single. It's a really catchy song.
Yeah, it really is catchy. So that's somebody playing the piano as opposed to piano chords being sampled from somebody else's record?
Exactly. Yeah, a good move, I think.
So that's a single, not a CD. So it's kind
that's
of
right.
Semi on your 10 best list.
That's right. Yeah, right. If I was giving you a list of singles, that would be at the top.
Well, Ken Run will run through his complete 10 best list in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Back with Fresh Air's pop music critic, Ken Tucker. Well, is this the moment of truth when you actually run down your entire 10 best list?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Here it is. No particular order. I think these are all very strong records. Beck's Odelay, Fluffy, Black Eye, the Sheryl Crow album, which is called Sheryl Crow, Amy Rigby's Diary of a Mod Housewife, Tony, another R&B group that's really melodic and kind of looking back to the 70s and yet applying their own 90s touches to this. Their new album was called House of Music. Willie Nelson's Spirit. The Cardigans, a Swedish band that I reviewed here a month or so ago, their album was called First Band on the Moon. The Cox Family, a traditional bluegrass outfit, a family that their album was produced by Alison Krauss. It's called Just When We're Thinking It's Over. Number 9, Loudon Wainwright III, Grown Man. That's my man, Loudon Wainwright. And number 10 is Sleater Kinney, another excellent women-led punk group from the Midwest called Call the Doctor is their album.
Okay. Ken, a couple of odds and end questions here. Were there any big disappointments for you this year? Albums you were looking forward to, you thought they'd be real good, and they were not?
I ended up being disappointed with George Clinton's album. I thought it could have been a stronger example of his work, especially given the amazingly good concert I saw Parliament Funkadelic give in Central Park over the 4th of July weekend. As it stands, the best thing about it was its title, which is The Awesome Power of a Fully Operational Mothership. That album should have been a masterpiece with a title like that, but it wasn't.
You write for Entertainment Weekly. Were there any records that were the subjects of big disputes?
Curiously enough, the Beck album, there was a lot of people saying that Beck was kind of, you know, it was a fraud, and other people saying, no, this is the honest guy. He's doing solid work. I think there was that kind of thing. And there's also kind of strong reaction to gangster rap that really, this is a very political interpretation of that work, and very people, you know, tend to condemn that work very strongly. I tend to really try to listen to it as music as opposed to that kind of, messages sent out to be acted upon kind of thing.
Did you find yourself going back to any music of the past that you want to catch up on in rock country or any other genre this year?
Well, there were a couple of really good reissues I might mention. As someone who doesn't listen to a lot of jazz, I really like this Sun Ra double CD called The Singles, which had his work in doo-wop and just really good soul music, really. And I was really struck by how good that work was. The other country music CD, which I thought was really good, was by Johnny Paycheck. It's called The Real Mr. Heartache. Johnny Paycheck is a guy, you know the single, Take This Job and Shove It, which really sells his work short. The Real Mr. Heartache has these truly heartbreaking ballads of a man going through a very rough time in his life.
What's your favorite way to listen to music?
Well, I tend to listen a lot. I travel on the train a lot and in the car, so there's that kind of traveling music that I like to. Otherwise, it's, I sort of hold up in my office. I like to just really concentrate on the music. I certainly find that I don't go to as many concerts as I used to, but I also don't miss it because I find that often the concert experience is just, it's loud, it's blary, it's noisy, it's annoying, and I have the usual complaints that lots of concert goers do. I find at this point listening to the music, just concentrating on it the same way I would just concentrate on a book or just concentrate on a movie is the way to approach that music.
Well, Ken, I want to wish you a really happy new year, and thank you for sharing your top 10 list with us today.
Well, thanks a lot, Terry.
Ken Tucker is rock critic for Fresh Air and writes about popular culture and is critic at large at Entertainment Weekly.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year
to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
May your days be bright. May your troubles be light. Throughout this wonderful year.
Everybody.
Throughout this wonderful year.
To all. We're listening to a track from the double CD, Sun Ra, The Singles. It's one of the reissues Ken Tucker just talked about.